period of a long week in a lecture of a tough university course. Okay? This is an experience where you get to listen to the Word of God, and what you're about to hear, it's almost like a course, taking a course before you need to fly a very large plane and you need to listen to the instruction in order to bring it to a land. You know, so sit up straight, pay attention, and let the Word of God sink into your heart. Amen?
Good afternoon. So, if you guys, it's new, and I've been on a bit of a break, so it's been just great to be back. My name's Kevin. My wife and the kids were part of the previous service, so they were here at 12, and I'm all alone here for the... So funny, we 9 elders, and I got back to you 2.5 weeks ago, and I'm the only guy standing. All the other guys are like, okay, you're back, cheers. So all the elders on leave, literally all of them. So they either on leave or they've got weddings on and stuff. So yeah, it's lucky to be here. Reese, our youngest, he had a school function, and one of the dads was also a pastor of another church in town. So we were just chatting about the difficulty with venues and meeting times and online church, and how Yusha is like, he can't do a screen anymore. And we were just chatting, having a good chat. And so I tell him that we've got this facility, which is a massive blessing, and we're meeting at 12 and 2:30. He was like, and people come. I'm like, yeah, no, these are committed guys. And so well done. I really want to commend you for actually coming. I can see sometimes the last couple of Sundays we were here and I've been back, I could definitely see the 2:30 slot is a tough one to preach at. It's like, Mark is full ochies too. So everyone is like in semi-prayer while you're preaching. So if you do start fading, I will believe the best and believe that you're just praying. Okay, so in the previous service, I had this like a sermon prepared. A couple of weeks I've been mulling on this, and I've been struggling just to get a like a feel for it, because sometimes you, as you prepare, it's almost like you throw your line in the water and you pull it out and you're just like waiting for that hook, and then you feel like, oh, got it. So I felt this morning, oh, got it. And so I was so excited, and then just as Nolan was praying out, Tien and Marie, they're moving to Australia, and while he was praying them out, I thought the Lord said, I want you to preach on something else. So I'm like, and you guys know me, you know, those of you that know me, I like to just be impulsive, you know? And so I had to go for it. I initially, to be quite honest, I when I felt the Lord said he wants me to share this to Durban, I'm thinking, okay, cool, I'm preaching on Christmas Day. So the next one would probably be in Feb. So I've got my sermon for Feb. Like, you know, it's like, I'm sorted for Feb. And then in worship, I felt now I needed to preach it now. So I was like, literally, I had a passage of scripture, I had to go for it. And I felt the Lord really spoke, and it was quite powerful. So he didn't say that again. So I can, you know, so I could actually go to my notes that I've prepared for this one. Busy with the preparation for this one, also struggling, God, is this really what you want me to say? And the next morning, Adrian Langham, he popped me a WhatsApp, and it was this passage of scripture. And I just like, okay, God, I know you're in this. So it's been fantastic just to experience the leading of the Lord in a fresh way. It's been fresh and it's been lekker. So I don't want to necessarily preach what I shared early on, but I just do want to mention it, because the Lord showed me, we prayed out Tien and Marie this today. We prayed another couple out, Heinrich and Anna, their community, I think on Friday, they arrived in George. During this lockdown time, we also prayed out Reinhard and Lisa, which is in the UK, and Adrian and Gerida, which is in Stillby. So these are either comm leaders or deacons, and we sent 4 power couples. And there's no doubt that that's going to leave a void. That's going to leave a gap. So that, on one side, that's sad, but on the other side, this is a great opportunity for guys to rise up, men and women to rise up and say, look, we're going to disciple people. We want to be people that count for the King and His kingdom. And if that means we lead a comm, it doesn't matter if we lead a comm or not. I want to make an impact. So I'll disciple. I'm a young lady and I'll disciple another young lady. I'm a young guy. I'll disciple another young guy that will come. We're a couple. We're not leading com, but hey, we're willing to teach another couple about parenting, or we just disciple them in the word and make sure another couple grows. And I really believe that's the heart that God's calling us to, that we'll rise up and say, God, grow me. I wanna count. And that was essentially the word, Isaiah 6. Whom shall I send who will go for me? And I believe God is asking that for all of us. Last weekend we were at the new land and we're having this picnic, and there's this people, you know, this, if I was Andrew Sully, I would have 10 to 1 said a truckload of people, you know, just running past, cycling past. And that was just for the Sunday morning. We live in that area. There's a lot of people running, cycling, driving up and down there. And although the building won't disciple the people, we will. But the building will attract people. But I believe with that coming, with that anything from 12 to 14 months out of sight, I think more than ever now, it's a time for us to prepare ourselves and rise up and say, God, prepare me. Prepare me. But before we can give, we need to make sure our gaze is sorted. And I want to speak about that gazing, that looking this morning. So the sermon title is One. See, I played with a one. And I thought I'll be creative. Did anyone notice it? Oh, okay, great. Just stepped out of the box, you know? There's so many things that's pulling our attention in this world. So many options. You take a kid to go buy something, and it's just this options. They freak out because they don't know what to choose. I remember taking Reese. He got money from his granddad for Lego, and he's a three-year-old, so he's like, yes, he's going to buy Lego. And then he suddenly gets there, and he's like, I want that one. And just as you go to the till, he sees another box, and he wants that one, and then that one. And there's so many choices. Struggle to, like, which one I want. Wherever we go, there's so many choices. I mean, this morning I had to go buy chutney for my wife. It was on the shopping list. Chutney. You think, like, I'll get there, there's chutney, I'll take it. No. There's about 10 options. I kid you not, the Pick a Pay brand had 10 options. I'm like, no. And I figured out that some of them are hot and mild and spicy. And then there's, because obviously we've got little kids, so the non-spicy, there's another about 4 or 5 options. I'm like, how do you choose? So the other day, but I'm scared the cheapest is the cheapest for a reason. So I like to just go above the cheapest, you know, just the middle ground. So my wife does hair and makeup on the side at weddings, and she asked me to buy a makeup pencil. All the ladies are laughing. Guys, you don't want to go buy a makeup pencil. Yeah, like 2-3 pencils. No. A whole cabinet of pencils. Say different sizes, different colors. I was like, on the phone, please send me a photo. Go on the go on Discam's website and send me the photo. I'll make sure I get that one. You see, all the people working there, they see you. They're like, oh, here's someone out of place. So can we help you, you know? It's like, I know I have to help you, so just tell me what you're looking for. But there's so many options, so many things, and so many things pulling us. The question is, David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, is this working? Is off? David said, one thing. You can maybe just go for it, Brett. One thing I ask of the Lord. And with all the many things pulling our attentions in life, can we really say one thing? Are we a people of one thing, or are we a people of many things? I remember in Africa, normally if you're there, we were in Uganda on an outreach, and people started sharing their testimony. And everyone coming sharing their testimony, it kind of went like this. Before I met Jesus, I did many, many things. But then I met Jesus, and now I belong to him. And the next guy came. Before I met Jesus, I did many, many things. And I thought, hey, we're still Christians. We still do many, many things. But are we people of one thing? Are we people of one thing? Maybe a better way to ask it is, what is that thing that you really want? What is that one thing that you, what is the thing that you're dreaming about having? What's fueling your hope for the future? What's capturing your attention most? What are you spending your time and money on? What are you making plans on to pursue? Or maybe in a negative sense, What is that thing, person, event, situation that's maybe fueling the discouragement, the anger, the frustration? What is that thing that's got hold of you? I think there's so many things that pull on us, you know? There's our daily lives. There's so many things in just our general daily lives that's pulling our attention. But there's also the deeper question, what's really the thing that's pulling your heart? What's really the thing that's setting your course? This lady, she studied the weasels. I think it's probably in North America. So this little animal, it looks like a meerkat. This little weasel, apparently it locks its jaw when it bites its prey. So if it attacks, it's not a very big animal, quite flexible. So it jumps and it kind of like locks on the animal's neck and then crushes the neck and then devours it. So she said that's what it does. It's got a hunter-like natural instinct, and when it pounces, it locks it, and that's it. She said she read a story about this naturalist, people that don't want to kill animals. This naturalist was doing a hike, and a weasel got hold of his hand, and obviously it locked its jaw. So there's no way that you're going to get this weasel off your hand, no matter how much you shake it, try and pull it. So this naturalist couldn't kill it, and so he had to make a plan. So he walked to the nearest river and tried to probably not drown the weasel, because that would have conflicted, they've been conflicting. So he probably just got it to let go and then got his hand out. So they're vicious animals that lock. And apparently another story about this guy that went to go do hunting, and he shot down an eagle. And when he eventually walked out to go find the eagle that he just shot down, when he got to the eagle, there was a dead carcass of a weasel like locked on the neck of the eagle. So just the head on the eagle. And then, so he, story goes on that he probably wondered how that eagle looked like a couple of days earlier on, weeks earlier on, with this part of this weasel stuck on its neck and it just carrying on. And he, the eagle probably hunted down the weasel, and then the weasel tried self-defense but locked his jaw. Question for us is there anything, or what's the one thing in our lives that we lock on to like that weasel? You know, that when that thing carries on and tries to swing us off or carries on, we lock to that thing for life and death. What is that thing? What is that thing that you are clinging on to and not wanting to let go? I'm trusting that to some degree this is teaching this afternoon is to help you to discover what's really going on deep down in your heart. I can't do it. I can present you with something which I trust you would hear the Lord speaking. But then we've got to trust the Lord to show you if there's something specific. David said, one thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. One thing I ask. One thing. One thing. So, I want to just look at three areas that we can reflect on to maybe identify what's the thing that got grip of us. And so firstly, I want to look at past errors. Brent, you've got to go for me, okay? So could you go? I'll just do this and you know, that's your cue. You can go, there we go. Next one, there we go. Put on that and go one more. Past errors. So what's the thing that you are maybe hungry for something else? Is there anything that you are hungry for more than Jesus? So here's my testimony. In the time that I was off now, I was quite, part of the reason why we went on the break is I felt deep down there was a deep disappointment and a frustration, and I was feeling like I was bordering on to some form of a burnout, and I wanted to avoid it with everything in me because I wanted to rather rest than recover. And so I was just like, okay, I got the opportunity to do it. And then I was doing some form of soul searching. Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? And then I realized, okay, I've got to bring this before the Lord, and the Lord needed to show me what's going on deep down in my heart. And as I asked the question, the Lord started to show me that there's deep roots of rejection. I'm thinking, what? Rejection? How can that be? And disappointment. And I'm like shocked. What's going on here? And then the Lord took me to this passage of Scripture, one thing I ask. And that was in the back of my mind probably for weeks. And I told the group, I don't know if I told you last week, but there was one time where Lizaldi was away for the weekend. I asked my mom if I can take the boys to them, and I had the weekend for myself, and I put up a little gazebo, and I made myself a tent, just like a tent of meeting, and I prayed in this space, and while praying there in my tent of meeting, I felt the Lord showed me that I wasn't a person of one thing. There was something else that I was seeking deep down, and that was the desire to be significant. I just wanted to have impact. I just wanted to be significant. So deep down, there was the desire just to feel significant, like I counted. And for some of you, yeah, that might be one of the things that's pulling deep down in your heart. For some of you, it might be that deep sense of affirmation. I just want to hear, well done, or I'm proud of you. And that's a deep-rooted thing, and that's setting your course. Or maybe it's acknowledgement. You're giving so much. You're a servant-hearted person, serving your family, serving the church, serving the work, and you're not getting that recognition. And deep down, there's this hunger, this desire for recognition. And I believe this morning, the Lord wants to take us and say, that is not the thing to be hungry for. I am the one. That this morning, this afternoon, what time are we? This afternoon, that there will be a shift in our hearts where we will truly be hungry, desperate for Him. That would be our prayer. The thing that we ask would be Him. And if there's anything else that's setting our heart in a different course, that He can show that. When I realized that, I repented and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I served you. I was under the pressure, and I did serve God. There was times where I definitely was in love with God and there was no other reason for doing the stuff I was doing. But there were many times where He wasn't the one. And that's why there was disappointment. That's why there was this deep-rooted rejection, because I wasn't given the opportunity. I wasn't acknowledged. But if He was the reason, I wouldn't have been swayed as much. And maybe you're very tired. Maybe you despondent today. Could it be that there's something else that's got grip of you other than Jesus? Maybe there's something else that you're really hungry for. The next one is a present opportunity. He's presenting us with the opportunity to reach out for Him and say, I want to be hungry for you, Lord. This is a wonderful time, holiday time. It's quiet. There's not much happening for most of us. I know some of us are working. But in general, it's a slow-paced season. There's a great opportunity to say, God, I want to set my sight on you. I want to behold your beauty. I want to fix my gaze on you. In a sense, there's a deep calling from the Lord that we shift our hearts, that we hunger after Him, that we hunger after Him. That we hunger after Him. You see, there's a difference between intention and a deep desire and hunger. I can have the intention to do something, but that will never go over to actual action. Intention is just you want something. But if there's a deep desire, hunger, there's a response to that. If you're hungry, you'll reach out and you'll grab hold of something to eat. I was just thinking the other day, we drove home, and I'm aware that my youngest probably needs a loo soon, because he's 3 years old, and you know, just by general knowledge, when the last event took place, so the next event should be somewhere soon, you know? And you try and make it happen so that at least there's no glipsies. And now we're driving in the car. So I don't know what's his intention. I don't know what's going on deep inside of him, you know? And then at one stage, he said he needs a bathroom. He expressed, he made known his desire. What did I do? Did I say, no, my boy, we're first going to Paul, and then we're going to do another trip to Blaubeck Strand, and you'll sit in that chair, and you will hold it in. Now, as a father, I'm like, look, we're going to almost be at home. We're going. I'm making sure we get there as soon as possible. And he made known his desire again. And I realized I've got to, you know, it's like I've got to obey the speed limit. But I need to get there as soon as possible. And he made known his desire. And I realized I've got to manage him. And then when we got home, I made sure that he got there as soon as possible. But there's a wonderful picture here is that when we make known our desire to our Father, He will respond. Scripture says, those who seek the Lord will find Him. So I want to encourage you, there's a wonderful opportunity presented to us that we make known our hunger to Him. Hunger moves. Hunger, true hunger. Not intention, but true hunger moves the heart of God. And then Brent, the next two, there's a future security. I'll just read it just for the sake of the screen. But in Psalm 27, verse 5, it says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling, and he'll hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me on a high rock." As we shift and become a people of one thing, where we really, truly, he is the one that centers, that our life centers around, that there's a deep hunger for him, that everything, all the many things in our life, come like, gets rooted in that relationship, in that gazing. If we get to that place, there's this wonderful surety that no matter what 2021 holds for us, I've got a sense of security, because he's the one thing. He's the one thing. You can put fence around your house and you can feel secure, but it doesn't take away the fear. For a moment, you can feel like I feel safe. But only Jesus can truly take away that fear. You can deal with the relationship and be unsure where things stand, but only Jesus will bring true security in relationships, not your coffee date. It's when you yield your heart, when you lay hold of him. And so there's a promise of a future security as we gaze upon him, as we gaze upon him. I really don't know what next year holds, but I know this, that we can keep our joy, we can keep our peace if he remains the one thing. I've noticed that we do drift, so it's easy to say make him the one thing, and we all can say, yes, hallelujah, we're making him the one thing today. But it's David, that was the one thing he asked, that was his desire, that was his hunger. And I realize that it's a daily thing. Because we drift. There's many things. We drift. And you have a bad week. I had a horrible week this week. I was ready with this preach. I was like the last couple of times, like, I'm a one thing guy. And then the life happens and you realize, oh, you know, what happened to that one thing? You know, it's like I'm lost. And I realized if I don't quickly say, Lord, I want to ask this one thing, I want to be there, I want to go there. If I don't do that journey back, then I soon live a life around the center, but I rarely visit the center. And I realize it's a daily thing of going back to that place and say, Lord, this I desire, this I ask. And from that place, I can find true freedom and release through a difficult week, through difficult circumstances. I really believe that God's calling us to a sense of restoring a pilgrimage, a pilgrim's heart within us. I remember as a young Christian, that was the preaching that went around quite often, that God wants to restore the pilgrimage of our hearts, where we seek him, you know, where we live lives, where we seek him, no matter what. In Psalm 27, verse 8, it says, "My heart says to you, Lord, my heart says, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek." I realize this is a daily thing, sometimes more than a daily thing, sometimes an hourly thing. Where you got to make sure that as there's so many things that's pulling, that I constantly go back and make sure that I live centered in that place where I desire this one thing, the life of God. That I'm a weasel where I want to grip and lay hold of the life of God and I cling to that. Because that's where I'll find freedom for my day. That's where I find true joy. That's where I find true peace for my anxiety, my worry, my stress. I can honestly say this, and I'll probably say it for so many months to come. I had a good rest, but my true freedom came, my true release came when I encountered the Lord, when I saw something of him. And that was of days of just yearning for him, yearning for him, yearning for him. Maybe some of you need to go set up a gazebo in your backyard, you know, and just once again see him. Because once you've seen him, man, you realize there's nothing that compares. There's nothing that compares. And this presents a wonderful opportunity in this season to do so. I want to end with, you can go for it one more. I want to end with a story of Martha and Mary. And very well known. So Martha and Jesus is visiting Martha and Mary. Martha is serving and trying to serve Jesus. Let's read there from verse 38. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened a home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted, by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Sounds so familiar, you know, this complaining. Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The many things that we sometimes, there's a pull in our lives, not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But we've got to make sure that we our lives are centered around only one thing that we truly need. One thing that we truly need. Jesus said Mary was concerned about only one thing. Only one thing. I found it interesting that Jesus never stopped Martha doing the work. It's only when she asked. So just because Jesus isn't saying anything doesn't mean there's something else pulling on our heart. Just because Jesus isn't saying anything at this very moment doesn't mean there's something else that you want more than him. But this morning, I want to give us the opportunity to ask. So, Jesus, is there anything else that I'm more concerned about? Is there anything else that has taken your place in my heart? In a sense, this is a call to search if there's any idolatry in our heart. But in a sense, it's almost deeper than that. Is there anything else that's setting your course that thing that you're dreaming of, the thing that you badly want, is there anything else? And I believe as we ask the Lord, he will show us. Because he's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He's the one, And he's the only one that will satisfy. He's the only one that you need in this time. He's the only one that will empower you. He's the only one that will enable you and give you grace, what you need, your mercy that you need. He is the only one. And we want to make sure that he's the one that has won our hearts. He's the one that has won our hearts. You can get that song ready, Brent. And I'm just going to play a song in the background. And just while the song plays, I just wanted you to take a posture of worship and ask the Lord this question. You guys can play it. I'll speak just for a while it's playing. And ask the Lord, is there anything? Of the many things in life, am I concerned about so many other things that I've neglected you or don't have you as a third thing? Joe spoke about first things, but he won't be the first thing if it's not the only thing. Then there will always be something else. To make him the first thing, he's got to be the one thing. Is there anything? Or maybe it's deeper. Maybe it's a deeper question. God, is there anything that's setting my life on course? Or that's anything else that I maybe need more than you? Let's ask Jesus. And I'm just going to give space for you just to worship and seek the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The more I love you. Sing again, the more I seek you. The more I seek you. Stand, and I'm out in your peace. It's over.